John chapter 10 and verse number 7. Reading with me out loud, please. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. This morning I want to bring a message, and I just had the hardest time coming up with an opening illustration, so I'm not going to use it, but I really searched for one. But the message title today is simply this, Safe. Now, Father in heaven, something that I want to say this morning, but I want you to speak through me. And if you will do that, Lord, then we will be certainly fed from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet, sweet Spirit that's in this place today. And such a sweet, sweet Spirit. So, Father, meet with us now, and that's our desire. We ask it in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Safe. Of all things, tried to come up with an opening illustration, just couldn't come up with one. And I love baseball, but I really couldn't come up with much of a illustration from baseball. I just know if you're safe, you're safe unless you step off the bag and somebody can tag you out. That's very important. But in the Bible, I want to say this. Jesus is called many things. And in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Jesus calls himself a number of names. Let me give you these. In Matthew 22:32, he called himself the God of Abraham. He said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. In John 6:35, he calls himself the bread of life. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, he calls himself the light of the world. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 10 and verse 7. As we read a moment ago, he calls himself the door. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, he called himself the good shepherd. Where he said, and by the way, John 10 is that chapter in the New Testament that's about the good shepherd more than just about anything else. And he says in John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He called himself the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He called himself the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in John chapter 15 and verse 1, he called himself the true vine. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Marvelous names that he even called himself. I go by many names, and you go by many names as well. Our names are nicknames, and then there's our legal name and our God-given name. But Jesus called himself many things, and he was a lot of things, but I want you to notice only one of these names that he called himself for today's message. And that was our opening scripture, John chapter 10 and verse 7. If you look at it again, it says, Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. That little phrase, I am, the Greek word is ego, I me. He's declaring his deity. He's declaring who he is. And this is a beautiful picture that God draws for us. The shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep. He would lay down in front of the sheepfold. Very interesting. He didn't go home and go to bed. He stayed by the sheepfold, and he would lay down in the door. And there he guarded the sheep that were inside. Very interesting. Now, there was a twofold purpose for that. He kept the sheep inside the sheepfold. If they were going to leave, they had to go through him. But secondly, he kept the enemies outside. If a wolf or a fox or some kind of an animal that wanted some lamb chops that night for dinner, They would have to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. So he kept the bad out while keeping the sheep in. And there's a reason for that. He did this because he loved the sheep. He loved the sheep. And very interesting that he wanted to protect them, and he wanted to keep them from being hurt or even being killed by the enemy. So he laid down in front of that sheepfold to keep them safe and sound and watched over them. He goes on in John chapter 10 where he said, I know them and they know me. They hear my voice. They know my voice and they follow me. Very interesting. The shepherd stayed close. He wasn't a hireling. He knew every sheep by name. I like that. He knows how many hairs are on our heads too. And he knows how many fell out today in the shower. And he knows how many you plucked out of the bottom of the tub also. He knows that. He knows the stars by name. He's named the stars. He knows the hairs on my head. He knows how many pores are in my skin. He knows me. I am his and he is mine. Praise the Lord. He is the good shepherd, and I'm glad that he is. He loved us very, very much and protected us, protects us from being hurt. He is the door. He wants to keep me safe inside and keep the enemy out as well. I love Psalm 23 and verse 4, just like you love it as well, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff, the shepherd carried those, and he would protect his sheep. The rod was to kill or maim the enemy that would come after the sheep, and the staff was to put around the sheep's neck or his legs and pull it back if it started to wander off. Very interesting how the Bible gives this as Jesus being our good shepherd. By the way, if you don't love John chapter 10, you ought to go back and reread it. I think you'll fall in love with it all over again. And I love, you know, we use the verses, John 10, 28 and 29. We use those verses for assurance of our salvation. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The shepherd would protect his sheep no matter what the danger, and it did not matter how dangerous it was. He was there to protect the sheep. His sheep were his sheep, and he knew them, and they knew him, and he knew them, and they knew his voice, and if he called them, they would come. He protects us from danger and promises to never let a single one of us go. That's one of the great promises in the Bible. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then he seals it by saying, me and my dad agree. In verse 30 of John 10, he says, I and my Father are one. That's been debated through the centuries of what that actually means. All it simply means is me and dad agree. I won't let you go and he won't let you go. And we agree on that. I love that. And this is how Jesus is with us. When we get saved, Jesus becomes our shepherd, so to speak, and we become his sheep, so to speak. And he protects us from the dangers that come our way and promises that he will never, ever, ever lose a one of us. We are his, I am his, and he is mine, you see. So when I said the title today was safe, when I think about the shepherd sleeping at the door of the sheepfold, laying down in front of the door of the sheepfold, so that the enemy can't come in, he's protecting his sheep, and the sheep can't get out because he's protecting the sheep. I wrote down some interesting thoughts. Number one, if you're taking notes, he protects us from hell. Think about that. He protects us from hell. John chapter 10 and verse 28, I already quoted the verse because it fit where I was at. But Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a promise. And by the way, I didn't make that promise to you. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. I don't have the authority. But Jesus made it. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Many years ago, I was teaching a Bible doctrines class in a Christian school. And an individual that was in the school was of a different faith, a different church that he went to in town. And I remember that he kindly and gently confronted me after class. And I was teaching on the doctrine of eternal security, of that you can't lose your salvation. And he confronted me about that, and he started asking questions. What about the word backslide? I said, oh, you mean like in Jeremiah? I said, Jeremiah talked about backsliding. But backsliding doesn't have anything to do with losing your salvation. It has to do with going in a different direction. And I said, and I had taught John 10, 28, and 29. And I said, just like I use for a soul-winning illustration, took a ring off and put it in my hand. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then he said, I and my Father are one. He said, yeah, but I could pluck myself out. I said, oh, no, you can't. I said, no man, that includes you yourself. He walked away from that conversation. I think he was puzzled because he'd been taught all of his life that you could lose your salvation if you sin. But nobody knows exactly what that sin is that's going to make you lose your salvation. That's because you can't. Jesus says they will never perish. And by the way, once you trust Jesus as your Savior, He will always be your Savior forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's just His promise. He made the promise, and He says, me and my Father agree on that. You can't get away from us. He just simply explains that once a person gets saved, he is always saved. It's interesting. And there may be some listening today, I don't know, that are online. Nobody in this room, for sure, because I know you believe correctly. But there's always someone that has to say, well, you know, I believe you can lose your salvation, give it away, trade it, or whatever they want to say. But they can never go to a single verse in the Bible or a passage in the Bible that indicates even closely that a person can lose their salvation of all. They usually refer to an unsaved person by the name of Judas. And Jesus said, have not I chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil? That was Judas. He knew Judas was unsaved to begin with. He didn't lose Judas because Judas was never his. He protects us from hell. He sits in the doorway. If the devil wants in, he's got to go through Jesus. Think about that. If he wants in, he's got to go through Jesus. And if we want out, we've got to go through Jesus. And he says, you stuck with me. You're in my hand forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. That's right. Aren't you glad you're saved and kept by him? I like what Peter said. The one who denied Christ, the one who denied his church, the one who said he didn't even know who he was, the one that quit the ministry. He said in his own writings, he says, who are kept by the power of God. Even he, as a backslider, knew that he was kept by the power of God and not by his own. Not only does he protect us from hell, but he also protects us from harm. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's a good way to understand this verse. I don't know when the last time was you heard a sermon on 1 Corinthians 10:13. It shouldn't be preached on every week, but it wouldn't hurt if it was preached on every week. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation. The word temptation there is the word for trials. It's the word for hard times. It's not talking about being tempted to sin, because all of us are. And the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted of God. For men are tempted, says he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed of all things. It says there's no trial, no hard days, no trial of your faith, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I love that. It means if it happened to you, it's happened to someone else, and more than likely everyone else, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested or trial, given a trial above that ye are able, and will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It's not talking about sinlessness now. What it's talking about is simply this. God will never let you go through a hard time that you can't make it, because he's going to go with you. And I think that's key. You see, God not only loved us enough to keep us from going to hell, but he also promises to never bring anything into our lives that we cannot handle, hear me now, with his help. You hear what I said? With his help. It doesn't say there will never be trials in our lives that we can't handle. It says that he will help us. But a lot of Christians today, when they go through a trial, the last person they talk to is God. The last person they pray to is God. They get out some book or turn on some broadcast or listen to some song or whatever that might be, but they don't go to God. And the truth of the matter is, it's like the man in the prose poetry who was walking along the beach, and when he had the hardest times, he only saw one set of footprints. And Jesus said, "Those are the days I carried you." We get ourselves into messes sometimes, but he gives us a way that we can escape that. But there's nothing he will ever allow, that he will ever bring into our lives, that we can't handle with his help. You see, it's God's promise, but sometimes the sheep have their own ideas. And you can't look at me today and say every now and then you don't have your own ideas, because all of us do. And you know, have you ever watched somebody walk a dog? You get some little guy or some little lady or a child or something, and they got a dog that's twice their size. The dog is actually taking them for a walk because the dog has a mind of its own. But a well-trained dog will obey the master. Now hear what I'm saying. Sometimes we as sheep, we have our own ideas. And that's when things get out of whack. And they should not do that. God's promised. But sometimes those sheep have their own ideas, and sheep are prone to wander. Like the songwriter said, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And yes, we are prone to wander. And this is one of the reasons why we need a shepherd. Sometimes the sheep would wander off and get into trouble. And there were times that they would even get hurt. And sometimes they would get killed. Why? Because they wandered away from the sheepfold and they wandered away from the shepherd. And the shepherd would leave the fold in order to find that lost sheep and bring him back. And the sheep wandered too often. Then the shepherd who is, and this is actually what happened. And if you've ever read anything about shepherds and sheep in the old time, Bible times, sometimes if that sheep was unruly and would not get right and stay in the sheepfold, the shepherd would lovingly break the leg of the sheep so it could not wander off. And you know, sometimes the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that when a child of God gets out of kilter with him, sometimes he chastens those children. And that's one of the signs that we have of knowing that we belong to him, is that when we do wander, sometimes we get chastened of the Lord, you see. We get hurt when we wander from the good shepherd, and when we rebel and fight against the Lord, and we get ourselves into trouble. Jesus is the safest thing I can think of. Safe. He leads us. He feeds us. He protects us. He provides our needs, and he is our everything. Oh, I love the song. I'll not sing it to you today, but what I'll do is I'm going to quote the words to you. You know where I'm going with it. Some folks may ask me. Some folks may say, "Who is this Jesus that you talk about every day? He is my Savior. He set me free." Now, listen while I tell you what he's done for me. He is my what? Everything. He is my what? My all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave himself for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? I'm so glad that I was taught that song when I was a teenager. It has stayed with me all these years. I was counting up the years the other day. Think about that. You know, 62 years, and over 50 years and 55 years hearing songs like this. I'm glad they've stayed with me for all these years. I hope you're like me in this area. You find yourself singing some of those songs that you learned that sustained you a long time ago. Something else. Number three, he's provided a safe place for us. Just like the shepherd has the sheepfold, he's provided a safe place for us. Say, "Well, Pastor, what place are you talking about?" I'm talking about this place right here, Timberline Baptist Church, our church, the place that God raised up many years ago. I'm talking about Timberline. Church ought to be a safe place as well. And I know what some are thinking right now, though I can't read minds. I just think I know human nature. They're thinking, "Well, I know a person that got hurt in a church, or I know a person that got this in a church, or I know a pastor, or I know a deacon, or I know a Sunday school." Yeah, there's always those little exceptions, but this ought to be a safe place. When a parent sends their child to church, it ought to be a safe place they can trust in. If that child rides a bus, that ought to be a safe place where those guardian angels are keeping that engine running in that bus all the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It ought to be a safe place. It's a place where we can learn about the Lord together. It's a place, He's given us a place. He shed His blood for the church, the Bible says. Listen, the pastor's here to protect you. The Sunday school teacher's here to protect you. Deacons, and even in many churches, and like we've had here, bus captains and bus drivers and bus workers are all here to help people, not to hurt them, you see. God's given us a place, and He sanctified the local church and set it apart for Himself. Gave His life for the church, the Bible says. And we are here to help when people, listen, when people need it, and they need protection or whatever. I've often wondered, you know, it's happened in many places. Sometimes when someone's in trouble, they'll run to the first church they see and run in the doors if they're unlocked. I've been advised by some that because we are in Manitou, that when I come to the church on Monday morning, that I need to lock the door behind me all the time. There've been a few times that I've ever locked the door behind me. But it's open. And people walk in. I walked out of my office one day and there's a guy sitting in the back pew. I struck up a conversation with him. Howdy, howdy. And we talked for a little while. I had to get after him a little bit later on, but he never caused any trouble. Not really. But that's only happened a few times. Listen, Jesus came to visit us one day here at Timberline. Walked in those doors right there. Said his name was Jesus. He was high on drugs. But at least he said he was Jesus and not the devil. That was a blessing. I'm glad that he said that. Ended up having to threaten him because he got a little bit on the violent side. Threatened to call the police and bring him here. And as soon as we did that, he walked out the door and never came back. But what I'm saying is this is why we have men and women in our church who can protect you. And that's what we're here for, you see. And many years ago, and I love this illustration. It's humorous to the point that it's not funny. Well, I don't know. You'll understand what I'm saying. But I got a phone call one day from a parent when we were up in Woodland Park at the old building up there. And a parent called me up. I think he's still there. He's got a business up in Woodland Park. And he said, I understand that one of your men locked my son up in the bathroom. And I knew about the incident because the child got unruly and he was causing all kinds of problems. And then the man got real quiet and he looked at me and he said, them's, and this is an exact quote, he said, them's suing words. And I thought, that's the last thing I need is a lawsuit. And I said, I'll take care of it. And I called that Children's Church Sunday school worker into my office. I sang the song to him that he had used in children's church. One time I had to talk to him about it. But I told him about the phone call. And of course the excuse was he was causing trouble in the classroom. He says, yeah, but you can't imprison somebody in a room without consent, not in a church. And I took care of it on that day. Was the child unruly? Oh yeah, every Sunday. On that particular Sunday he caused a little bit more trouble than he should have. He should never cause trouble, but you know what I'm saying. Was I had to take care of it, and I did take care of it. And we've always been very protective of the children who would come to Timberline, and that's the way that it's supposed to be, protective of the children. Bottom line is simply this, is that Jesus is our good shepherd. And the point that I'm wanting to get across to you today is that He protects us. We are safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus. He keeps us safe. You know, I'm so glad that it's not up to me to keep myself saved. I'm glad it's not up to me to live a life, the life that I now live in the flesh, to live by my own power. I love Galatians 2:20, where the Word of God says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by my faith? No. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, you see. And so the point that I want to get across to today is that we are safe in Jesus. I said, first of all, He protects us from hell. I'm so glad that salvation was made simple. Out there on that track rack, we've got a whole bunch of God's Simple Plan of Salvation gospel tracts We've got them with the Creation series. We've got the original Pink and Gray series. We've got the Spanish version. We've got all of that. Why? Because it's a simple plan. He did not make it difficult for us to get saved because He wants us to get saved. But He did put conditions on it. We have to trust Jesus as our Savior, not as our financial planner and not as anything else. If we're going to get to heaven, we have to get there through a Savior. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or taken from the Old Testament, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. He made it simple. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever changes his lifestyle and gets baptized and joins every church in a country can be saved. No, He didn't say that at all. He said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He just made it simple. We have made it difficult. We've added so many things to getting saved. People don't want to get saved anymore because there's so many hoops to jump through. Jesus said, you call on the name of the Lord, He'll save you. And that's just it. He protects us from hell. He protects us from harm. And He protects us, He gives us a safe place. Think about that shepherd with all those sheep inside that sheepfold, and He is there protecting them with a rod and a staff. And they comforted Him because He used that to protect His sheep. I have a poster here somewhere. It used to be stored in my office. I think it's over here now. It's got a picture of a shepherd. He's got his sheep, and he's got wolves coming after the sheep, and he's holding on to his rod and his staff, and he's taking that weapon, and he's hitting those wolves to keep them away from the sheep. It's one of the most dramatic pictures I've ever seen. But boy, was it descriptive of His protection. He's provided a safe place for us, and that is so important. That's why back there at the sound table, we have our security cameras. We can see who's coming in, who's going out. We can see if someone is a threat or not, or whatever. We have all that to protect the sheep inside this sheepfold, you see. Jesus is the door to the sheepfold, and He even said He was the door, and that means that He's there to protect us from some enemy that wants to step in and hurt us. And He keeps us in so that we can't ever get out. And He says, and I will never let them go. All that Thou hast given me, I have kept, He said. Timberline Baptist Church is a safe place to be. And I'm glad that it is. Is it a perfect place? Well, of course not. It's got us in it. It's got me as the pastor. It's got you as the members. But it's perfect for us. And I think that's what we have to remember. So today, I want you to remember the sermon title, Safe. Safe. You're safe. And you're kept by the very power of God. And Jesus made that promise as the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. And then He pulled His Father into it and says, me and Dad agree on this. You're safe with us. And I'm so glad that it's that way. Aren't you glad that you're kept safe by the Shepherd?